I thought I might start our Easter Sunday message with a cat photo, because everyone loves baby cats. They're always quite cute. So we've actually got a range of baby animals that we're going to have a look at, just to kind of make sure if you weren't already in a good place, because you can't help but smile when you see photos of baby animals. And so kitten, little baby kitten there, you know, just a small version of its adult self. I remember when I used to go to the zoo when I was a bit younger, I used to love going and seeing the baby giraffes. I don't know what it is, because they're really not any different to their adult selves. Like a baby giraffe just looks like a miniature version, whereas other baby animals often have some small differences. But I do remember I really liked looking at the baby giraffes. I think I just liked the Africa section. Baby elephants. Have you seen those videos? And it's like a little baby elephant galloping along, and its sort of trunk is like, you know, just don't look at me. Just imagine that the elephant's actually doing that. And there's just something about it that really stands out. A baby elephant that's just so cute, and its little, you know, makes its noises and snorts, and it's just really quite special. And then, of course, a baby caterpillar is just such an attractive little thing. Great big fat caterpillar. A baby butterfly. If you didn't know better, you never would imagine that a butterfly came from this small, fat, leaf-eating insect. And yet, a butterfly and a caterpillar are the same animal. Starts off in one phase, but when it's at its fullness, looks completely different. You're not going to look at caterpillars and butterflies and baby elephants the same again, are you? We're continuing our series today as we come towards a culmination. In real life, how do we discover the life that God intended for us to live? And so for those of you who haven't been here for the last few services, so you can catch up with us, our first one we looked at the start, about the 17th of March, we looked at the concept of Jesus as Messiah. And our verse was Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 24, and it says this. Then he said to them, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." And we looked at the idea that real life, not social media life, not Facebook life, not the beautified life that we look at when we turn on our computers and our phones and our devices, that real life may actually be counter to the life that you're comfortable with. Because Jesus, as he came and as he walked and as he prepared to die for us on the cross, what we're celebrating today, he reminded us that a life of following Jesus actually involves denying ourselves. And I love that he says this, it's about taking up your cross and following him, before he has actually done that, foreshadowing what is to come. Then the next week, we looked at Jesus as King, Palm Sunday. Jesus entered into town on a donkey as king, and everyone thought, this is it, this is where the kingdom is going to come. It's all going to change here, Israel's going to come back, it's all going to be better, all of those terrible things are going to go away. But instead, we get a different story. And we get this idea that there is a kingdom to come, but it is actually to come. It's not what is here in this life. That we have a life that we focus on beyond this world. Now, Matthew 6, verse 19 to 20 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Real life is lived in light of our eternal hope. That the reality is that we live this life not for the purpose of this world and this life. That we look beyond, and that what we celebrate today with Jesus' triumphant resurrection is not that all of our problems are gone away today. It's not that everything in this life is going to be really fantastic and great. It's that there is a future hope. And whatever you might find yourself facing, and I've got some friends at the moment that are facing tragedies beyond understanding. Losing an adult son only a week or so ago. And the way that they are facing this loss is because they've got their heart on a resurrection that is to come. And that's what we celebrate today. And that's real life. It's lived in light of our future hope. On Good Friday, we came together and we kind of compared two different cycles, two different ways of living life. One is the way of the world and the way that we're often encouraged to live. We don't even realize it. And it's actually a cycle of grief, that we seek to achieve things, and it's through our achieving that we get an identity. And so because of that, we're driven to do more and to be more and to have more and to get more. And then only from that do we get acceptance. But the problem there is that acceptance is only present as long as we're achieving. So we get on this little treadmill where we run around madly like a little mouse. But the message of Easter, the message of the cross, the message of resurrection is a cycle of grace. That all are offered acceptance without any strings attached. It's just by belief that you are accepted. And out of that comes a sustenance and identity. And then from that we serve. We still achieve. We still see things happen. We still live a life of meaning and significance. But it's out of gratitude and not a need to gain our own acceptance. Real life is unlocked by grace, not by works. And so we come to Easter Sunday. And so again, as is the bent this year, we're actually taking a little bit of a different approach to what you might do at Easter time. There's kind of only so many ways you can tell the Easter story, and every year it's nice to have just a little bit of a different take. And so what we're going to do today is we're exploring so what. So Jesus has risen again. So what? What does it mean for us to live with Jesus as Lord? How do we live on purpose? How do we as followers of Jesus discover what our purpose is and then live with that in mind? So I'd love you to join me in Romans chapter 12. If you've got your Bibles, got your phones or whatever it is, it will also be on the screen so you can follow along. We're going to take some time to look at Paul's words to the people in Rome on what it means to actually live for Jesus. That if this day means something to us, if we really do celebrate that he has risen indeed, if it's not just a bumper sticker that we put in our car, if Jesus really is alive, then what do we do? Therefore, I urge you, he says, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of the resurrection story, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We just had an incredible time of praise and worship. And we have a team which is growing and really starting to bring us into places of great significance in terms of how we sing and how we honor God with our lips. But one thing that we sometimes miss and lose as Christians is we boil down worship to the songs that we sing. We went to a worship service and we worshiped God. But we're reminded here, and Paul says to us, actually, your true and proper worship is lived every day of the week. And actually, your true and proper worship uses your body. See, how we actually give ourselves the other 6 days of the week is a part of our worship to God. And so we come on Sunday and we gather together on special days like Christmas and Easter and Good Friday and all of those things. And that's a really important aspect. But let us not forget that worship is so much more than just the songs that we sing. Therefore, I urge you, give your bodies as a living sacrifice. Take what you have and use it for my purposes, for God's purposes, every day of the week. It continues on in verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I just want to park here for a little bit and just look through the different sections that make up this verse. So at the start, we have, do not conform to the pattern of this world. In the New Living Translation, it says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. In the Amplified, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs." Now, I want to be very clear here. This is not saying you should never take part in any of the customs of this world. It's not what it is saying to. If you're going to another country, if you're looking to help people meet Jesus, actually finding ways to connect into these things is a really important part of mission. But it is saying to us that this is not what should identify you. This is not what you should be focused on. That if we are going to have a hope beyond this life, then those values and customs that are just focused on the here and now are not going to be the ones that you're known by. Don't let that be the fullness of what you do. So you know what? We're actually doing an Easter egg hunt today, and we have people with bunny ears on. We're not afraid of the Easter bunny because we're followers of Jesus. But that is not the focus of our life. That is not the focus of our hope. That is not what we conform to. We recognize that He is risen. He is risen indeed. And so what do we do with this? Do not conform to the pattern of this world. So what do we do instead? Well, the next bit. Actually, I'll read this quote first from John Murray. "Conformity to this age is to be wrapped up in the things that are temporal, to have all our thoughts oriented to that which is seen and temporal. If all our calculations, plans, and ambitions are determined by what falls within life here, then we are children of this age." If everything we do, if everything we celebrate, if everything that we acknowledge has a focus on the temporal, the here and now, this life, then we are missing what it means to recognize the wholeness of what Jesus has for us. But the next bit is where we get into what's really interesting. It says, "But be transformed." But be transformed. What is this transformation that takes place? Well, the word for transform here is the word metamorpho. And if that looks familiar to you, it should do, because metamorpho is the word that we get the English word metamorphosis. Now, why might metamorphosis be important? Because that is what takes place to change a caterpillar into a butterfly. A caterpillar, it grows up, it eats, it chomps on its leaves, it does its thing, it gets nice and fat and plump, and then it puts itself in a cocoon, and then depending on the breed of butterfly, a few days or maybe a week or so later, it bursts forth with these beautiful, colorful wings. It is still the same animal, insect, whatever the right, correct word is there. I'm sure somebody who loves insects will correct me. Grub, there we go. We'll just go with grub. Let's just do that. Easy. I like it. It still has the same DNA. It is not a completely different thing, but it has been totally transformed. The parts of the DNA which are active are now different. It's operating in a completely different way. It's like it's had a completely new computer system added to it, booted up, and it's now going to be living out its life as a butterfly. And never again will that butterfly look like that caterpillar. It has been completely transformed. And this is really important, because this is one of the things that can happen when we take the Easter message of resurrection and we boil Christianity down to behavior modification. Jesus didn't die on the cross just so that we could try and sin a little less. He didn't die on the cross just so we could try and be a little better, do a few more good works. Jesus died and rose again because we could not do enough good works. He died and rose again because we could not change our behavior sufficiently that we would actually make it to God. He died and rose again so that we can be transformed. To go from being like this to being like this. It's not just about changing our behavior and trying to look like better Christians. I don't know if you've noticed, we don't particularly do a good job of that at times. So what goes on here? How do we do this? Well, what we see next is it talks about the renewing of our mind. that there is a way that this transformation takes place. And it's not just by changing what you do. I think if I push deeply enough, and I'm not going to, so don't freak out too much, I could find things where you've changed what you do, not because you think it's right, but because you know that that's what you're expected to do. There are ways that you will change your behavior. And isn't this with our kids oftentimes? We tell our kids to do something. We say, don't worry about what you think. Just do it. Just do what you're told to do. We can make changes to our behavior just because we know that it's going to get an impact. But that doesn't mean that we've actually changed what we think. And so we're reminded and we're told, and Paul says, and he's telling the people in Rome, you need to renew your mind. And that as your mind more and more reflects the mind of Christ, as it gets more and more in sync with the way that God made us to be, then you will be able to know what it is you are to do. And for some of this happens really quickly on some things, and it's a lifetime journey on everything else. And that's okay. It's not actually meant to be, a butterfly. It doesn't just become a cocoon for like 1 second and then burst out as a butterfly. It goes into that cocoon for a while, the caterpillar, and it takes time for those things to change before it bursts forth. And so we too will take time to have this transformation. But Paul calls us, let your mind be renewed, and then you will be transformed, and you will live out your life in a way which shines forth amongst the world we live in. See, real life, not social media life, real life, is found when we give our whole life to Jesus. C.S. Lewis, really good author. I like to take his stuff when I can because he puts things better than I can. He puts it this way. Give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want to have the whole tree down. Hand over the whole natural self. I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself. My own shall become yours. C.S. Lewis. I don't want a little bit. I don't want the bit that you can afford. I don't want the bit that you're comfortable with. I don't want the bit that you can spare. I want you. I want all of you. I want every moment to be lived for me, for Jesus, not for me, not actually me. I want all of it. So what's your response to Easter this year? Is this just going to be another year, another church service, another time of coming together? Or maybe there is something that God is speaking to you today. I wonder, you might be here today and you might be exploring Christianity. You're not quite sure where it stands. You're not quite sure what you think about it. Maybe you're kind of right on the cusp of saying, I'm in. I want this freedom. I want this life that you offer. I want what you have to give me. And you actually just need to accept the free gift of forgiveness. Remember, it's not about getting yourself all sorted. One of the hardest things that I find in trying to help people accept Jesus is they want to go, I'm going to sort my life out first and then I'll come to Jesus. And it's the exact opposite way of how it works. You have to come to Jesus first because you will not do it in your own strength. It is by faith that you are saved through grace. Choose Christ first. So if you haven't decided to follow Jesus, or maybe you decided to follow Jesus many years ago, and it's kind of like at the moment Jesus is up on your shelf, And at Christmas and Easter, you go and grab him off the shelf and you put him out maybe on the Christmas tree or maybe on your front door or whatever it is. But that's where Jesus sits. And actually, this year is the year that it's time for you to say, Jesus is not going back on the shelf. I want to live my life for him. I want to accept his forgiveness and live for him. Or maybe you're holding something back from God. Maybe there's a part of it that you're just not ready to give over to him yet. Well, I encourage you today, even if today you're still not ready to give him that part of your life, maybe that's your takeaway. What's holding you back from giving that part of you over to God? What is stopping you from saying, I'm all in? Maybe you're dipping your toe in the water, or maybe you're up to your knees, or maybe it's getting a bit cold because it's coming up to here, and it's a bit like, oh, when you first go into the water. What does it look like for you to take a running jump and plunge yourself right into the waters and say, all right, I'm in. Take me and use me. What's stopping you from responding to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who gave his life and then rose again? Or maybe for you it's actually a bit scary because God is calling you to step into something new. Maybe you've got a feeling that God's actually tapping you on the shoulder and you're quite comfortable where you are. I remember where this happened for me a few years ago. Kelsey and I, we'd bought a house in Joondalup. We were very happy up there. There was this church in Austin Cove that needed a pastor and said, we'll come down as an interim. We'll come for 6 months and then we can go back to our place. We have this lovely park near our house called Blue Lake Park. We walk around that with our son. It's a great place to be. We'll just do about 6 months and then we'll go out to this new, you know, we'll work at what we do from there. I'm still here in case you hadn't noticed. Maybe it's not as flippant as that for you, because it actually is one of those real wrestles. It really wasn't hard to say yes to Austin Cove. But maybe for you it is. But you can sense that God has something there for you. And you're just not sure if you can step into that new thing. But you know that it's there. He came to give you life. He would not be calling you to step out into this new thing if it was not for your good. Now, remember, your good sometimes comes with struggles. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. There is no way that you carry a cross without feeling that cross. But if he is calling you to something new, can I encourage you? Say yes and step into that new thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you that you gave your life. Jesus, that you came and you died on the cross for us. But we are so grateful that you rose again. We are so grateful that you didn't stay in the grave. I pray that you would help us this day and every day to renew our minds for you, to be growing into all that you would be calling us to be. For those of us who might be timid at the moment, I pray you'd help us to step into your grace. For those of us who might not be sure about giving our whole selves over to you, I pray that you would encourage us this day. And Lord, for those who might be being called to something new, give us the courage to say yes and trust you as we step into the process. We thank you in Jesus' name.